Amen. Let's look in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to read verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to verse 17 through 22. Service of God or surrender to God or whatever title you want to put to this. Amen. But though, Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Then down in verse 17, it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fallen from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be together tonight. We're excited about tomorrow as Vacation Bible School starts. Lord, I pray that we'll learn some practical principles here in this passage that will not just help us in Vacation Bible School, but it'll help us as a church body ministering and serving God together. And Lord, there might be someone here tonight that's not saved. They're not aware of what it means to be born again, and they need to know Christ. I pray that you'd touch them. Even though I'm teaching and preaching to the Christian, may they realize there is a God who cares for them. Lord, I pray that our heart's desire this week would be to see souls saved. And Lord, that we might be able to reap a mighty harvest to the glory of God. Bless the preaching of the word tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's amazing to go through this passage. It's a familiar passage because we certainly know it's Jesus sending out the disciples and other 70 also to go out and preach the word of God and present to those that they're going to be preaching to who Christ is and what he would be doing when he would come into their city. It's always an exciting time of the year when we do Vacation Bible School. And every year we have a good number of students that come out, young people come out, and as a result of it, we see many young people get saved. Many times we see adults get saved. But really, when you think about the work of the ministry, you think about the serving of the Lord to do these types of ministry, there's some practical things that need to be in place so that we might be able to be effective and very efficient in doing the ministry. When you consider the many facets of ministry, we must be sure that our focus and our message is right. And it's very easy to get caught up in something that's moving and something that's happening and lose your focus and literally lose the whole message of the reason why we're doing what we are doing. In the passage, Jesus has sent 70 out to preach the word of God, and as they return with a report. It's amazing to go into the book of Acts and see as Paul would go out on his missionary journeys, he would come back to the churches and give a report of what God did on those missionary journeys. And certainly after we have a week like Vacation Bible School or another major event going on in the church, there's always the opportunity to share a report of what God did or how he spoke to someone or how God revealed himself in the midst of that opportunity in that ministry. And so we want to make sure we have the right report. We want to make sure we have the right motive and we have the right message to share with the young people as they come in. Notice, first of all, the diligence in the assignment. Diligence in the assignment. And I really believe whatever the ministry is, whatever the opportunity we have to fulfill, we need to be diligent about the assignment that is given to us. I want you to pray for this fall This fall, I'm going to be combining all of the adult Sunday school classes for a short while, for probably about 3 months, to teach and just try to help us to make sure that we're on the right page and going in the right direction and equip you and prepare you for the work of the ministry. We are really praying about this fall. We've been in contact with Awana. I believe we're going to start the Awana program back up. The Wednesday night program seems like it's been floundering and struggling, and I think we need to shore up some things there. And I really believe that this is a year where we need to refocus ourselves and be recommitted and better prepared for the work of the ministry that the Lord has for us. We want to restructure some things in Sunday school because of the fact that we need to be diligent in the assignment that God has given us. If we sit back and take our ease in Zion, so to speak, and we do not address certain issues, then it's very easy for things to flounder and we become ineffective in our ability to win people to Jesus Christ. But notice the diligence in the assignment. There's the team that is identified in verse 1. And it says, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. He established a team. Now, oftentimes people will say there's no I in team. And there isn't. And there isn't any room for someone to think they're above everyone else, or they're the big shot, or they're the big cheese, if it were, as it were. And the only reason why the ministry is successful or why anything is accomplished is because of them. No, we're a team that works together. And VBS this week, I'm going to tell you, you have your Sunday school, I mean, you have your VBS class, you have really the opportunity to be able to minister through games or singing or whatever it is. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to approach it just from the vantage point, this is what I'm going to do, and not from the vantage point of this is what we are going to do, you can very easily get upset with one another. You can very easily be overcome with the stresses of the opportunities to serve the Lord. It is very easy to think that, wait a minute, the only reason why anything's functioning is because you are present. And the reality is, that's not true. When Jesus had 12 disciples that he handpicked, that he trained diligently in preparing them for the work of the ministry, but when it came time to go out and reap a harvest of souls, he pointed other 70 also. Then that shows me a principle that God uses diligence in the assignments that he gives us, in that he establishes a team, and we work as a team together. 70 of them went out two by two. And so when you talk about witnessing, it's always sent out two by two. And it's because of the fact that we can pray. There's a prayer partner. There's someone who is speaking. There's encouraging words that we can say to one another. Certainly the days that we're living in, it's good to have two people together because of protection and safety issues. But it's the principle is simply this. It's a team effort. And it's a corporate effort as a church to be able to do vacation Bible school, do Sunday school, literally the Awana program, to do the Christian school. It is a team effort. And if we ever get to a place where we think the team is not necessary, we are in deep trouble, serious trouble. And so there's a team. He's established. He sent 70 out also. Notice the sphere of the assignment. He says, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place. The sphere of the opportunity to minister is in every city and place. And listen, there is not one area in Ocean County that we ought to be negligent in and getting the gospel in there. And every city and every place, we all be making every effort to tell people who Jesus Christ is. We cannot be just exclusively focused on just right here with us in Toms River and nobody else outside of Toms River. I remember I was down in Dividing Creek. It was interesting because I went down there and the church was running about 30 people, and they were concerned about the church going under financially and have to close its doors. And I told them the same thing I told the deacons when I came here. All we have to do is preach the word of God and go soul winning, and God will take care of the church. And literally I went down there, and that's what I did. Just started preaching the word of God, started going out soul winning, and wasn't long. Wasn't long at all. I went there in September, I think it was. It was in the early fall when I went down there. And by the springtime, we had broke the Sunday school record. The Sunday school record, I think it was like 40 people or something like that. And by just in 6 months' time, we broke the Sunday school record. And we had a Sunday school record of 70. And the people said, you know what, that attendance and that record up there has been up there for years. I don't know how long it's been there, for years and years and years and years. But they were excited about breaking the Sunday school record, but they weren't excited about the fact of who was coming into the church. And I had some people get very upset with me because they lost their seat. Don't you dare look at somebody funny because they're sitting in your seat. You sit somewhere else. And this one guy, he was all upset. He said, oh, I'll tell you, you come in here, you can't even get someplace to sit. You got so many people coming in here. I said, well, then come early. Amen. You don't have to come in at the last minute, expect to get the seat that you want. And then I had another guy tell me, well, you got these people coming from all over the place. They got a church where they can go to where they're living. They ought to go to a church in that place. I said, you tell me one church in that place that's preaching the Word of God. Amen. None of them were. And so I said, they can drive from whatever they want to come from to come down here. The sphere. We have to have a vision of the expanse that God gives us an opportunity to do ministry. We are not doing vacation Bible school simply to get the kids back that were here last year. We are doing vacation Bible school to get kids here who've never been here. The sphere of an opportunity to be able to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. If we do not have diligence in the assignment that God gives us, there is absolutely no way that we are going to launch out and reach out and put the effort to go to every city and every place. So the team reaches the sphere of the opportunity. Notice the camaraderie. In this, he came in verse 17, says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, notice they came, they were together to give the report. There was a camaraderie together. They went out together doing the ministry and preaching the word of God, and they came back together in reporting what had taken place in the ministry and the opportunities they had. May I say that if literally we are a team that is doing all that we can to reach every person in every place, then we have something to rejoice about as brothers and sisters, as co-laborers in the body of Christ doing the work of the ministry. And there needs to be a camaraderie and commitment to one another. We have seen this situation develop in Christianity where if somebody doesn't like something that's going on, they just go to another church. Rather than getting right with God, they just go to another church. And we've allowed that to take place, and we literally will not rebuke somebody or correct somebody for doing so. And what has happened is literally we have lost the sense of camaraderie together. We are brothers and sisters, co-laborers in Christ Jesus. And that means everything that we do, whether your talents and ability is singing or your talents and ability is teaching or whatever your abilities are, everything that you do affects somebody else in this church, and we do it together with joy. It says they returned with joy. There was an excitement because of their ability to do the work of God together. Now listen, I know what it is to go out and start a church and not have nobody there but my wife and I. And I know what it is to have to do everything yourself. I rejoice in having other people to do the work of the ministry together. They don't always do what I want them to do. I don't always do everything that they expect me to do. But that's not the issue. The issue is that we're a team. And as a team, we have an obligation to reach as many as we can. So why don't we just enjoy it? Why don't we just be happy and enjoy it together? As you come in for VBS tomorrow, you'll be so excited. You'll be so thrilled. It's vacation Bible school. By Wednesday, it's like, will this thing ever get done? And by Friday, it's like, I'm out of here. But wait a minute. If we're diligent in the assignment that God has given us, we'll be able to do it with joy.
because one person is not overburdened or over-challenged because we work as a team in the sphere of opportunity that God provides for us. So diligence in the assignment. Notice the passion, the passions. It says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. I mean, they were excited about that. They were passionate about what took place. And it's okay to be passionate about what God is doing in your life and what God is doing in the church. And I think there ought to be some testifying once in a while and speaking out the praises of God in reference of how God used us. And it's great when somebody that's in Sunday school comes and they say, you know, I had a student in my class this Sunday got saved. Or a Wednesday night, they come and they say, I know Pastor Pierre Vicente told me, they had texted me Sunday, Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, there was a student that got saved. It was a girl, was it? A girl got saved on Wednesday night program. Another teenager that came on the bus was talking to Pastor Pierre Vicente, was very interested, very excited about spiritual things. I mean, to tell you what, when you start sharing what God has done and you're excited, you're passionate about it, that stirs passion in someone else. But if it's, oh boy, I'll tell you, we got to go out there on Wednesday night again. Boy, these kids are driving me nuts in Sunday school. Better be careful what you say. They might tie you up and put you in the corner when you go in there. Amen? Diligence in the assignment. Christ was very diligent in the assignment that he gave out to the disciples. I love John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is a great chapter on teaching administrative skills in leadership, because of the fact in John chapter 6 there is the feeding of the 5,000, and in John chapter 6 Jesus deals with how to finance the project. Hey, how are we going to feed all these people? Calls the disciples over. Philip comes over. Not only that, but he tells them how to organize the opportunity to be able to do, to meet the need in their lives. He said, gather the men together in 50s and have them sit down. He organized those that were going to go out and be the team to do the work of the ministry. As he called the disciples together and he blessed the bread and the fishes, he gave them the baskets to take the food out to them. I mean, I'm telling you, John chapter 6 is a great administrative chapter on leadership. You ought to read through it from a leadership perspective. Why? Because every aspect of the life of Christ in preparing and sending out his disciples to do the work of the ministry was diligent in the assignment, making sure they understood what was required of them and understood the opportunities that he was giving to them, and he desired of them to be excited about the opportunities. So diligence in the assignment. Notice the second thing is the character of the ministry team. The character of the ministry team. There was development. They developed a team. Jesus called them together and he gives them a purpose. In the development of the team was a purpose to achieve. In verse 1 it says, and after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face to every city and before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So here's the purpose, the development of this team. His desire was for them to prepare the people for his coming. And so God has a purpose for us. Vacation Bible School has a purpose. And the Vacation Bible School is for the purpose of winning young children to Christ and opening the door of opportunity to get it into the homes and lead the mom and dad to the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is always a purpose, and I think we need to never forget our purpose. Now, that's why I'm going to be doing adult Sunday school altogether for a few months. I did that when I first came here to the church 21 years ago, and it was very profitable. And one of the reasons why I'm doing that is because I want to establish once again what is our purpose as a church ministry. What is our purpose? If we do not understand our purpose, our reason for being here and doing what we are doing, it's very hard to be successful at it. And so the development of the team was that they established the purpose. Understand the actors in our skits that we're going to have. The purpose up here is not to get laughs, although people are going to laugh.
some of the characters are up here sometimes. It's really funny. The skits that we do, the refreshments that we do, the games that we play are not for the purpose of just having fun. Everything that we're going to do in Bible school, everything that we do in Sunday school, everything that we do on Wednesday night is for the purpose of the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that is not our focus, if that is not the driving force behind what we're doing, we will miserably fail. We might get a lot of people here. And the amazing thing is a lot of churches are doing a lot of things to get a lot of people in, but they've lost the sense of purpose of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. So development of the team, the character of the team, they had a purpose. Notice the possibility that was given to them in verse 2. It says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So here's the possibilities. They had possibility for success. Now, I didn't put this on the slide, but he had possibility for success. He tells them the harvest truly is great. And so the possibilities is there is always the opportunity for success. And whatever we do for God and as we serve the Lord together, we ought to have a mindset. The characteristic of our ministry team is simply this: let's be successful. I don't want to fail. I don't want to be just running in circles like a dog chasing his tail. I want to be able to accomplish something that's positive and glorifying to God. So he says, the harvest is plenteous. And realize this tonight. The harvest is plenteous. There is multitudes of people, young children, that we can reach for the Lord, and many adults through the ministries that God gives us here in this place. But the possibility is not only can be success, but the possibility is also failure. He says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers in the harvest. Why? Because the laborers are few. The possibilities when we talk about serving God and doing the work of the ministry, in developing the ministry team, is the possibility is success because the opportunity is great. But the possibility also is failure because of not enough laborers. Now, we have a nursing home situation right now. We have so many nursing homes that we need preachers to go in the nursing home. Jim Knorr oversees that. He's in the nursing home every Sunday. Every Sunday he's preaching in a nursing home somewhere. And there's guys that are in this church right here. You're sitting here right now. You could go in that one of those nursing homes just once a month and preach the word of God to those senior citizens. They're getting close to dying. If they're not saved, they're going to go to hell. If they are saved, they're going to go to heaven. And so you have a great opportunity to be able to go into those nursing homes and tell the one who is lost how they can have hope for eternity. And you can encourage the person who is saved, who used to be sitting there, that used to sing in the choir, who used to play the organ or piano in church, who used to do different ministries like Vacation Bible School and Sunday School and things like that, but they can no longer do it because their body is failing to the point that all they can do is sit in a nursing home. And all they need is for somebody. All they need is for somebody to walk in and encourage their heart by sharing the Word of God. The possibility is success because the opportunity is great, but the possibility is also failure because we don't have people to do the work of the ministry. And it's a shame. First sermon I ever preached was in a nursing home. The first places I ever preached and had opportunities to preach was in a nursing home. And I'm going to tell you right now, fellas, if you want a blessing, then you ought to see Mr. Knorr and talk to him about getting set up to be able to go into the nursing home and preach, lead some songs with them. Listen, if they can put up with Jim singing, amen, they can put up with your singing. And Jim sings good, though. You ought to listen to him sometimes, amen. But anyway, the possibilities, we have to look as a team, we have to look at the possibilities of what God can do through us as a church. And the possibilities are endless because the harvest is great. The failure comes because we don't have enough willing, warm bodies to do the work of the ministry. And you could encourage someone to go in there and be a part of that. The reality is, if we don't get some more guys to help out with the preaching in the nursing homes, we're going to have to cancel some of them. Because Jim can't be in there every week. He can't do it all himself. And you know, Vacation Bible School, we have a multitude of children that are going to be here, and if we don't have enough workers, it's going to be chaotic. So if you haven't volunteered and you haven't decided to help out, you ought to see Pastor Pierre Vicente about that and say, listen, I can't teach a class or whatever, but I'd be glad to be here as a warm body to help out. Why? Because the possibility of this week is success, but the possibility is also failure. As we enter into the new year, as we get ready for a 36th year of the ministry here in this place, the new year offers to us success and failure. But it all depends on the character trait of the ministry team. The ministry team is not the pastoral staff. The ministry team is us. It's all of us. And everyone in this room tonight is a vital part of the ministry team. So we see their purpose, the development of the team, the purpose, the possibility. We see their proportion. I thought it was interesting that he sent 70 out to go into the cities and preach. When you study the population of the average town or village where they went, can you imagine 70 people coming into the town was overwhelming. It was disproportionate to the amount of people that were there. And I just know this, that there is more of a greater opportunity to be successful the more people that are involved in the ministry team. So the proportion. We can never have too much workers, too much helpers. And I believe sometimes when you have too many, or you think you have too many, it's just that you have to organize and arrange them in a successful way to do the work of the ministry. So their proportion. Notice their position. In verse 1, they were talking about presenting Christ or preparing the people in the places and cities where Christ would come. Their position was the preeminence of Christ. And the thing that they were going to the towns for was everything was about Christ. It was not about anything else. It was about Christ. It was the preeminence of Christ. And so the character trait of a ministry team ought to have a position that everything puts the priority on who Jesus Christ is. Well, number 5, there is the development of the team is their power. It says, whither he himself would come. Nobody says, where am I at here? It says in verse 1 of chapter 10, after these things the Lord appointed 70 other also and sent them. So he sent them. They didn't go out in their own desires and their own abilities. They didn't go out with their own authority. They went out based on Christ's power resting on them. The 70 were sent with authority. We know in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5, the 12 disciples were sent out with authority. We know in John chapter 20 and verse 21, we are sent out under the authority of Jesus Christ. He says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And so there is power under the authority of the Word of God and the Son of God as he gives us the mandate of developing the ministry team. The character traits of the ministry team. That's their development. Here's their demise. Their focus changed. They went out in verse 1 and 2, looking at the harvest that was great. They went out in verse 1 and 2, understanding that the laborers were few. They went out in verse 1 and 2, understanding that they were there to present to the cities and villages and every place they went that Christ was coming there, and they were presenting who Christ is. But the focus changes by the time you get down to verse 17. Notice in verse 17 it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying,
Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That is not why he sent them out. The focus changed from Christ is coming to, hey, the demons are subject to us. I'm going to tell you, there is a multitude of things that the devil would love to get you focused on rather than saying Christ is coming and you need to be saved. The focus of our hearts is presenting to people that are lost that there is a God in heaven who wants to save them and they need to get saved because he is coming very soon. And when he comes, I'm telling you one thing, all things are going to break loose around you. You think it's bad now. We are entering into the United States into an era of time of anarchy. Three more police officers were shot today in Baton Rouge. A fourth one is in the hospital in critical condition. It literally was an ambush. There was a call made of a suspect or whatever, and the police arrived and he opened up shooting on the police. We're entering into a time of anarchy. But you think that's bad? It's going to be far worse than that when Jesus Christ comes and the church is taken out. We cannot afford ourselves the luxury of focusing on other things other than Jesus is coming. And so people need to be saved. Don't allow the world and trends and all these things to change your focus off of Christ. I was listening to Kenny Baldwin preach, and he was preaching actually at that revival down in North Carolina, and it was amazing because he was preaching. He said, you know what, you can get all kinds of people, they can quote all kinds of statistics, you know, everything that's going on in the political field, they can tell you what all this stuff is going on in the world, and you can even get Christians and even preachers that got it all figured out and everything else, but they're not even concerned about and not involved in getting people saved. They can't tell you how many people were saved. They can't tell you how many people they witnessed to. They don't tell you how many hours they spent in prayer. They don't share with you the truth and the reality of what it is to be a Christian focused on the purpose that God has so designed us to be and fulfill because our focus has changed. Instead of looking to heaven, we're looking to Washington. Instead of looking to the courtroom of heaven, the armies of the Lord, we're looking to the armies of this world. And we need to focus back on Christ and realize the world needs to hear that Jesus is coming again. Not that, oh, man, we accomplished this, we built this building, and we started this, and we did that, and just go through all these statistics. And that's all we're focused on. They went out, Jesus is coming. But they came back, oh, the demons are subject to us. The focus changed. Notice another thing here. There was pride that was demonstrated. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Watch out. Well, you know what? This is going to be a great time because I organized this. Oh, I'll tell you one thing, the reason why it's success, because I did this. We are living in the era of selfies. And listen, God is not worried about yourself. He's not willing that any should perish, and he saves us. But listen, he is the one to get the glory and the recognition for anything that happens in our life. The character of the team was powerful and life-changing and influential. But when the focus changed, pride entered in. And when pride entered in, it brought a demise or the opportunity for them to continue to be effective. Notice a priority was reestablished. The priority in verse 1 was Christ, but the priority in verse 17 was themselves. And we have to be careful. The priority is not us. The priority is Christ. Our life, the way we live and what we do is not about what is the selfish things that you want in life. Our life is about what is it that Christ wants in our life. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about the commandments and this, that, and the other. And he was, you know, dealing with the Ten Commandments. And I know I'm going to do a little study on this. I thought it was interesting, his approach of how each of the commandments, in other words, if you disobey one commandment, how it affects you for the opportunity of disobeying the next one. A building process was there. And I was like, man, I got to study this out. That's a good thought. Why would God give us the Ten Commandments in the order, in the way that he gave them to us? Because when you violate the one, it exposes you and prepares you for the violation of the next one. And it is very easy for us to lose the character trait that God wants us to enjoy and experience, and that is that he has the preeminence in everything, and if we're not careful, the priority will be reestablished in our life, the demise of the character of the team. So there's diligence in the assignments, there's character of the ministry team. And verse 18 through 20 is literally the rebuke of the master. And so his response in verse 18 is, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. They're coming back talking about how Satan was subject unto him. He's like, he's telling them, wait a minute, you have to realize this, I'm the one that witnessed his original fall. I'm the one who cast him out of heaven. Here they're all rejoicing about what they were able to do, and because of the loss of their focus, they forgot, wait a minute, what they were able to do is because of the power and the majesty of the very Son of God who sent them out the first to begin with. So what is it? He's rebuking, the rebuke of the master, it was not because they had done wrong. And why that? I mean this, they did preach the gospel. He told them to go out and preach, they did that. They did heal the sick. And the reality is they did cast out the demons. That in itself is not wrong. So he's not rebuking them because they had done wrong. He's rebuking them because their emphasis was wrong. And the emphasis was, it was on man as a means of defeating the devils. And there is not one of us that can stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. The emphasis was on miracles. They were excited about bringing healings, the miracles instead of the cross. Now, you understand that the devil is going to enter into a man who will be the Antichrist in the end days. So their emphasis, if they're looking at the fact of the devil and casting out demons or whatever, it's very easy for them to get sucked into that whole thing. You understand that in the last days, there will be miracles that are not generated by God, but they're generated by a false prophet. And so if their emphasis is on miracles rather than on Christ, it's easy for them to be deceived and drawn away. And I'm seeing that. I'm seeing that among Christians. They get off on all these tangents and they get running on these rabbit trails. And the next thing you know, they're deceived and they're corrupted and they're messed up. The devil's having a heyday in Christianity. Because we want to focus on demons. We want to focus on miracles. They were willing to focus on the menace rather than the mission. The menace was the sickness. The menace was the demons. The menace was those who disbelieved in Christ. The focus was the mission. The mission was preaching Christ. And faith through Christ, in Christ, brought you salvation. So his rebuke was not necessarily that they were doing wrong, but their focus was wrong. The emphasis was wrong. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it's a challenge. It is a challenge in the Christian life to keep the emphasis right. Because we're always being enticed and pulled every which way. And as a result of it, we lose our effectiveness in the work of the ministry. So, what last thing is this? The rebuke of the master was not because they did wrong, but because their emphasis was wrong. It was the salvation of the Savior that they should have, that should have been reported. When they came back, they were talking about healings. They came back talking about demons, but they didn't come back talking about the salvation of God. And this week, let me challenge you with this in Vacation Bible School. May the first and foremost thing on your lips be the salvation that comes through grace and faith in Jesus Christ. And may every day, as the days wear on and as the week carries on, as fatigue starts to set in, as problems start to develop and abrasiveness starts to be experienced, let's keep on our lips the salvation of God. Because that's what's going to change people's lives. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. This church, if we're going to continue to be a church that is an outreach ministry of the gospel of Christ, it's going to require of us to always bring a report of the salvation of God coming upon those that are lost. And when we cease to talk about the salvation of God, we are in dangerous territory, because we are on the path of destruction and a path to end Ocean County Baptist Church. There has to be a reminder from the Savior from time to time. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is preaching Christ. It's not exalting man. It's not getting involved in politics. It's not just trying to create and grow and make all kinds of money. It is about preaching Christ to everyone and anyone that they might be saved. And what does that mean? That means, wait a minute, we need a cohesive team. We need a church body that understands the service of God, that God has given us an assignment to do, so let's have the right character. And as we develop the right character, let's realize this, that when we get off track, praise God, He rebukes us. Amen. Praise God, He says, no, you're wrong, that's not the way to go. That's not what to be involved in. And when He rebukes us, we respond to that and we get back on the right track. Why? Because all things are delivered unto me of my Father. That's what Jesus said. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. Oh, that we might be in a position that God will continue to reveal to us all that Christ is, so that we can reveal to others who Christ is, so that they might be saved. The service of God. Folks, what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to be able to be used of God in such a great way. My prayer is that this VBS week will be a great week, but beyond that, it's not just about VBS. It's about our church, as I said, as a cohesive team, working together to the end of preaching Christ, that souls will be saved and that Christ will be glorified. Why? Because when righteous men do rejoice, amen, there is great glory. And Christ will be glorified when we, as the righteous people of God, continue to rejoice and praise His name. Service of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much. We love You tonight, and we appreciate the will of God that rests upon each of us. I understand, Lord, each of us have different talents, different skills, different abilities, even different opportunities. But God, each one of us, living that out to the fullness of the leading of God in our life, enables us to do things that are beyond the realm of impossible. The impossible becomes possible. The unbelief becomes faith. The unsaved are delivered. The weak saint is strengthened. And so God, help us to learn from these 70 that went out. Help us to keep our eyes on Christ, keep our focus pure, and help us to have passion and compassion, Lord, for those that are without Christ. May every person that walks in this building this week leave here with a clear presentation of the gospel of Christ, whether it be from this platform, whether it be one-on-one situation, whether it be in the classroom,
Whether it might be just sitting out on the bench talking to someone, God, may not one person come in this place without the gospel being presented. Lord, we would ask you if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, Lord, will you touch them? May they come forward, Lord, that we might take the Bible and show them how to be saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stay.